Hello and welcome to another episode of Father and Joe. I'm Joe Rocky, here with Father Boniface Hicks. And we've always asked you at the end of episodes, and thank you for providing the star ratings and the written reviews for those of you who have. It has made such a big difference. And this being an episode where we're going to talk about doing things a little bit differently, being openness to change. If you have not yet done that, please think throughout this episode what you would do as a reviewer, star rating, as you listen to us here. And Father, to kind of give the preview there, but that's one of the conversations I wanted to have in this episode, was being openness to change and going off of the thought process that we had a couple of weeks ago, that there is so much of our life that we go through on autopilot and we never really question, we just kind of do it. And there's lots of reasons why we can go on autopilot. We're people. And sometimes it's just easier not to think about every single decision. It would just go through the grocery store. There's literally 700 different kinds of bread. Like, let's just get the one we always get. It kind of makes life easier. But why do we always do that? Why do we always take this route or that route? Now, sometimes there's great reasons. It's the most efficient route. Sure, any geographical map, you can do 500 ways, but there's only three that are actually time-saving and efficient. Okay. But why do we do and treat people certain ways? Why do we approach situations in certain ways? And these are the thought process and questions that I'm hoping to open up and peel back. And really, as I'm going through the process of how to do that, it has to be an acceptance with yourself that maybe I was doing it wrong. And if that happens and you find a different way to be okay with that, a little bit of mental preparation for, oh, maybe I should look at things different. Maybe I should address questions differently. And Father, that's the thought process I'm having as more and more of my life is diving into, well, just because that's the way everyone does it, doesn't really mean it's the way we should do it. So I know that you see this situation a lot in your world, and I want to present it to you because I think it's such an important conversation and thinking, because it's one of the pathways that can radically change your life and your relationships.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a balance in that. On the one hand, we very much want things to become habitual. So habits towards the good are called virtues. We did a whole series on that. You liked it. that's definitive of holiness, heroic virtue, virtue to a degree that goes beyond even human capacity, is definitive of holiness and is what is investigated in the cause for holiness. And so the fact that established habits towards doing the good, even to a heroic degree, is precisely what we want to do. So I wouldn't blanket statement against habits by any means. If you think about it, let's say you have found the most efficient path, or the really it's the optimization is always around love. So if you've found the best way of loving someone, now that's part of the problem, is that there isn't a single way. It needs to be adjustable. At least it's tradition. It's not mere muscle memory. But in any event, just for the sake of drawing out the argument, you found the best way for loving someone. Why would you change it? And we don't need to constantly keep asking the question, should I change this, if we've found the best way? Now, because things don't stay the same in this world, we need to be open to presuppositions that were the case when we develop changing, and so now we need to adjust as well. So maybe when you had no money, you were in a habit of not giving very much to charitable organizations. In the meantime, you've gotten a substantial amount of money, but you haven't developed a habit to giving to charitable organizations. Position changed. Now, if even when you didn't have very much money, you were always giving a percentage, even of a small money, then as your money increased, your percentage would stay the same and your habit could stay the same. But anyway, the idea, if we have presuppositions that have determined our habits and those presuppositions change, then those habits may also need to change. And so that's the kind of thing that requires a little bit of a feedback loop. Examine the things that we're doing, at least from time to time, or more likely that we're open to them being examined. Our podcast may have challenged a number of people about the way that they have thought about individuals, that have carried out their religious practices or practices of prayer. We might have challenged the way that people are, I don't know, voting politically or prioritizing their lives. And that's a really good thing when we expose ourselves to sources of information, teachers and preachers who have a way of changing our habits and making us look at maybe changing presuppositions, helping us to see a bigger picture in a situation that helps us to realize that what we're doing is not optimal, that we could do things differently now. Maybe we couldn't before, but we can now. Maybe we could have before, but we didn't think of it. There are a lot of things like that that are worth examining. So noticing it is the first thing, believing in it is the second thing, and then building the habit, third thing. And building habits has its own important feedback loops that we even notice that it's time to trigger the new habit, and we need to reinforce that in the way that the satisfaction that we get carrying out the new habit, and also the way that we experience reward from having completed the new habit. So there are things about habit development, but again, the first thing is to want to do what is good, to optimize charity, to optimize love, and then to re-examine the things that we're doing. Please be open to being challenged by the example of others, the teaching of others, new things that we've learned, and that our presuppositions have changed. And then we need to actually go about building the new habit. And then the effect is, if we build habits around holiness, habits around goodness, virtues, if we build virtues, then it's the good is becomes all through us. So our spontaneous responses start to be good, rather than being in a place where our spontaneous responses are bad and we need to change ourselves and not do what we spontaneously want to do. We have to choose to do something else. And that's the hard part of habit development. But once we've developed the habit, then our spontaneous responses start to be good. The qualities of virtue are ease, they're easy, promptitude, we do it quickly, and joy. It's really good to do it. And so when we just start a new thing, none of that's true. It's not easy. We don't do it immediately and it doesn't feel good. But as we build good, doing the good, then we start to experience that ease, promptitude, and joy, which mark the perfection of a habit or a virtue.
And that's fantastic. So my main takeaways from that were, A, it's okay to have. It's okay. It's a good starting point as the thing there. And I want to dive into the part about being openness and changing, because I think that that's the big key, right? You have to, A, be aware that what are my habits are, what is actually going on. And I think that that's part of the call to action and recognition in our own lives that I'm trying to get across here. And then once that happens, I love that you're already on the next step of being openness. And then showing what the result will be when you're there, when you'll know you're going down the right road. Is it easy? Is it promptive? And is it joyous? That's three very good measuring sticks that you'll be able to tell. Okay, this is a good habit I have now. Let's measure this against our lives. So I want to spend a moment here about the recognition part, about how we can go through our day-to-day life. And obviously, we're talking about a wide gamut of things. I mean, this can be from just the way that you interact with yourself, the way you interact with others, your prayer life, the way that you drive, the way that you craft emails or anything like that. An openness to seeing what it is and what is the result that's going to be received upon the other side. And I think that that's a starting point, because by virtue of love being the end goal and the driving force behind all of this, inherently it's always relationship-based. Even if it's an activity that feels like it's an independent world. You know, my boss just puts me in my back room here and I do the accounting work. Well, really, it's still a relationship with the business. And if you don't do this position right, there's going to be problems. So when we look at the overall elements, how do we make ourselves to be open to answers saying, hey, you know what, how do I even evaluate if this is being good and for the better? We use the word virtuous a lot. That's kind of a churchy word, but how do we look at it in the actual lexicon of the modern day? And then how do I go about changing it and being open to doing something that maybe this is the only way I've known, because this is the way my mom did it. This is the way I did it the whole way growing up. And I still cut people off my whole life. And it doesn't matter really what they're talking about. I'm just going to start talking when I feel like I should. So how do we get into things like this that are our daily habits that we may not even realize as issues?
Well, again, I think as we continue to challenge ourselves with the ideal, and where do we find that ideal? Again, we can refer back to a number of podcasts. I should ask you, Joe, where do we find the ideal? You know, we find the ideal, of course, in the lives of the saints. Those are always the incarnation of the gospel in particular time and place. The ground of that ideal is the gospel. Again, we need a little bit of context and a bit of help in interpreting the gospel. You wouldn't want to take single lines out of context, and you want to take the whole message of the gospel, but we want to really let ourselves be challenged by the gospel. There are things that we might not think we could take literally, like, did Jesus really fast 40 days? I used to think that that was just hyperbole describing some kind of extreme thing. Well, it turns out it's quite possible to fast for 40 days and probably even 50 or 60 for a male adult. Or a healthy adult, not even male necessarily. But so sure, he fasted 40 days. It said he fasted 40 days. There's no reason not to believe that. In any event, we may need a little help in interpreting, you know, did you really mean cut off your hand, pluck out your eye? Well, no, there's no evidence that he was literal about those things. He was making hyperbole in that context. So with a little bit of help, we can look to the gospel and let the of love, of holiness, challenge us. And then we can also be open to good preachers. So holy, you know, someone like our bishops or the Pope, priests who have own kind of synthesis of the gospel. They've put it together in particular ways. I remember very much at the beginning of Pope Francis's, how much he challenged me. You know, he was, as Cardinal Archbishop of Buenos Aires, living in an efficiency apartment and walking the streets, taking public transit as his standard, not as an exceptional showing off or something. That was his standard behavior. And that really challenged me. His love for the poor really challenged me. He did that not enough kind of thing. I've done a lot of ministry to the poor, but really as a one-off kind of thing. I've gone to a homeless shelter here. I went to Calcutta there. I volunteer with Missionaries of Charity here. I've done mission trips and things like that, but I don't have a daily routine, a weekly routine of doing that kind of service to the poor. Pope, as Cardinal Archbishop of Buenos Aires, let alone in the years before that, really did. And so things about his example and his teaching that really challenged how I read the gospel and what kinds of habits I was building. And then I have inspiring friends, people in my life who say, go to Walmart and evangelize. I'm like, okay. So, that's challenging. And then, you know, just in terms of my own prayer life, taking time in prayer and opening my heart. Again, I generally pray with scripture and challenging me in a particular way, but when I open my heart in prayer, sometimes different situations come up. I'm challenged to to love someone, to be patient with someone, to serve someone, to trust someone, God to someone. And then, you know, as I do that more and more and build a habit around that, kinds of assessment too, you know, I'm a graduate level professor and I get teaching evaluations and my, this was bad, or maybe do it this way, or why don't you suggest this book or read this thing? That's really helpful. So those who are who we are serving, you might say, can challenge us and the way that we do things. And so, but we have to really avail ourselves of that opportunity, and we need to be in relationship that possible. As you just pointed out, Joe, I mean, this all orients around relationships. And if I'm not in the relationships with people that can really challenge me, then I'm just not going to grow in the way that I could if I were in those relationships and people trusted me and I trusted them. They could say, hey, what you're doing here is not good. What's that about? Let's look at it this way. Why don't we do it this way? We can help you. So we need to have those kinds of relationships and expose ourselves to those kinds of opportunities if we're really going to let our habits be challenged and move us towards an even greater good.
And if you think about that there, you gave a couple examples that a system has given you direct answer and feedback. And people might say, well, yeah, if you're a professor, you should do a response and see how you are. You should get in my job evaluations from the manager or whatever. How am I doing and all that? But the reality is that even out of a structured employee setting, such as those that I just brought up, you're getting feedback from those around you. It's just, are you willing to actually look at it and accept it for what it is? And that's really part of what I think that this process that I'm calling us all to do revolves around. When it was back to a couple episodes when I said, question everything. Well, question why this happens, but also question the responses and the intuition you're receiving from other people. You know, why is this happening? You know, what is this in the situation that I am causing? And where is the situations where I feel like I'm zoning out and becoming less alert? Is that a mechanism inside of me that doesn't want to acknowledge that I should change? Is my lack of alertness or attentiveness something that I should probe into and kind of question why? You know, on the one hand, you can certainly understand if there's a physical reason why you're exhausted. You know, that's life. We all have those in our own various capacities. I was up till 3 a.m. with a crying kid. Okay, it would make sense the next day that you're not going to be on your A game and total alertness. But if it's just a random run-of-the-mill conversation and you just find yourself zoning out in a completely conceivably irrelevant way, maybe that's a defense mechanism that your brain's doing to try to keep you from seeing something because of something that happened when you were younger that you're not exactly happy about. And I think that these are little cues that we can see in our own relationships to go, well, what is it that I am doing? And then how can I go about in adjusting it? Again, these are all different approaches that are all getting back to the same goal of creating ourselves as better relationship vessels of love and getting ourselves into the habits therein. And I think that that's something that is incredibly important, because as we're going to go about and change the world, it does revolve around that love-centric mentality, which inherently is always relationship-based. So, Father, I think that this has been a very informative episode, giving people ways to address this situation. If you'd like to give some final thoughts about how to conclude the episode, we'd love to have
them. Well, I love everything that you're saying, Joe, about questioning things. And I guess I just would say, obviously, we can't question everything all the time. So we do have to press forward and just do stuff. You probably didn't question most of the things that got you from point A to being on with it and with me today. You know, you go through certain routines and we need to do that. And that's why I say allows to putting ourselves in a position to receive feedback, to make it easy for people to raise questions, to push back on certain things. And I think you pointed out very well, our paying attention to our interior experience also is very, very important. If there are things that are causing me anxiety, if I have discomfort, if I'm experiencing other kinds of negative emotions, that's usually an invitation at least to ask the question, is there something that I'm doing that I could do differently that's causing me some of these emotional responses? And so those are just some different signs that would invite us to look at a particular thing or question a particular thing. But obviously, we can't question every habit that we have every day. And we have to just go with it for a while. And that's why, opening to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, if I'm not doing something, I want to know. Please, you have lots of ways to intervene and point these things out in my life. I really want that. Please help me. So just things like that can make a big difference.
Yes, and what a beautiful message to take away. And we hope that you're able to enact it in the week to come.